welcome to another edition of the Go Basket Wallace Report. My name is Charlie Wallace.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Yes?
Mr. Poor Communicator?
That's cutting, but also true.
So then why don't you sing a song about it to the tune of Welcome to the Jungle?
When a problem comes along, sing a song about it.
When I'm on the podcast, I have to sing a song about it. In the middle of a sentence, sing a song about it. Da-na-na-na-na-na, sing a song about it. Da-na-na-na-na-na, sing a song about it. There we go.
All right. I ignore my text. I don't call anyone back. Everybody hates it when I don't get back to them. And then they don't know what's going on, and neither do I. But I don't really care because I'm such a horrible guy. I don't communicate. Nobody likes me, but that's the way I like it.
I guess I was expecting more something like Welcome to the Podcast, but in retrospect...
Oh, okay.
I guess
that took a dark turn.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, it was really good.
Yeah.
All right. So you sang a sad song, and so I guess I should introduce myself. Hi, I'm Adam Gobeski, and please welcome our four thunderous guests. We have Tony Huff.
Hey, it's fun that I'm here today.
Paul Wilcox.
It's great to be back.
Kevin Vredevoog.
Hey, excited to be on.
And Doug Gobeski.
I missed this.
And we are going to do the, 79th? That seems low. 379th installment of Why Charlie Ruined the Podcast.
More reasons than there are episodes.
Take it away, Charlie.
I guess every episode is one reason. Take it away, Charlie. So, yeah, this episode we're talking about the 2022.
No. Explain to the audience how you ruined the podcast.
Oh, I ruined. Oh, well, I ruined one episode.
Why there's
of the podcast
no episode 269.
So we're skipping the number.
And why none of us remember anything about Thor, Love, and Thunder.
Oh,
could you explain it?
That's not true. I just watched it.
Could you do it in the form of a Welcome to the Jungle cover as well? Just to stick with that.
Let's switch to like Paradise City.
I'm fine with that.
Keep the theme going.
All right. Trying to remember what the non-chorus sounds like. We couldn't get together to record an episode, so we decided instead to do a clip show, but it was super hard to do. When we record stuff, I don't go through the pre-roll or stuff after we record, so I just threw it out, and not a lot of clips left to do.
Keep going.
So then we tried to edit stuff, and then we tried to make some stuff to connect it, and it didn't really work, and then it all got jumbled up, and then we had to modify it several times, then people had to edit it. All right, and then,
people.
Yeah, me.
Carry on.
And so here we are. We missed episode 269, and we're going right to 270.
And why is 270 late?
Why is 270 late?
As far as recording goes. Obviously, for them, it's not. But
wait, so why is 270 late? Oh, I see. Because we were going...
What? Paradise City.
Recording's late because we tried to edit the other one, but then we had a bunch of... But then we had emails back and forth, and they didn't work. But then we tried to... Oh, and then there was a power outage, and I couldn't record it a week earlier, and so now it's a week later, but we're still going to edit it in time so that everybody can listen to this episode, but it's still four weeks after the last one, so technically it's still 2 weeks late, but if you're talking about chronological order, it still technically works because it's 270 and not 269.
That kind of reminded me a little bit of like Weird Al at the end there, not going
to lie. Trying to remember, have me remember the past and sing a song.
No. Really taxing.
You got there.
He did eventually.
I like when the light bulb went off in his head, though.
Just the info actually... dump suddenly, which works well with the song.
How All long right. did it take for your power to come back?
Only one day.
Well, that's not terrible.
Yeah. So it technically came out about what would have been a half hour into the recording, but I was not able to watch the movie anyway. And plus, nobody, I mean, Doug hadn't watched it because he knew that we weren't going to record.
Doug was arm deep in spiders at that point.
Oh, okay. How many?
Whole swarm of them.
Ew.
They're virtual spiders, though. We took the opportunity to play video games instead of podcasting.
Oh, okay.
Because as you said, there definitely wasn't enough time for me to watch the movie and then do the podcast.
Right, right.
I get the impression that I was the only one who waited to watch it, and so...
Nope, I watched it today.
Ah, yay! Thank you, Tony.
I watched the last hour today, having finished the first hour last week.
That's the way to do it. That is definitely the compromise position, so yep. Congrats to you, too.
Thank you, thank you.
I snuck out of a meeting and told them that I had to do work, and work was watching the movie. And then it turned out I didn't need to do it anyway. But yes, we are discussing the 79th installment of the Merry Marvel Movie March. This time it's the July 2022 MCU film Thor Love and Thunder. Thor Love and Thunder is the story of one Dennis Thor, and he has an epiphany. And he says, you know what's cool? Tattoos. So he goes to the tattoo shop, and on one fist, he gets the word love tattooed across the knuckles. And on the other fist, he gets thunder. But it just says THDR. So it looks more like thudder. And so he spends a lot of time trying to get the guy to figure out if he can put an N somewhere in there. And the guy tells him, look, I already did it. While he's debating with that guy, another person shows up and says, hey, your uncle died and left you the deed to a haunted silver mine. And all you have to do is spend the night inside a mansion that's inside the silver mine. And you will get the silver mine. Those are the conditions of the will. And he says, he being Dennis, says, wait, I have an uncle? And the guy says, yeah, no, your uncle, Frandon. And Dennis says, I don't think I had an uncle Frandon. And then he says, no, you did. And so then the rest of the movie is a lecture on genealogy. I guess they left it open for a sequel.
I like how the synopsis had like some recap of dialogue, too.
Doesn't even get to the mansion.
Nope.
To the underground mansion.
Hey, we got love and thunder and an after credit scene.
But there is a long scene where the tattoo artist tattoos the Thor family tree on Dennis's back so that the lawyer can point out where Frandon is in the tree. Nobody else liked that? That was my favorite part of the movie.
I did, but then he forgot to make it backwards. So when they looked in the mirror, it looked backwards to Thor.
Right. So they had to find another mirror.
I know. It took like a half hour to find another mirror.
I mean, that is probably the easiest way to get a look. You know, that he designed it that way. Really. You didn't want him to crane his neck.
Kevin, what's this movie about in three sentences or less? Real version.
Let's see. You know, usually I prep three sentences in case I get called on, but I haven't gotten called on in a while, so I didn't. Starting from scratch.
One sentence to go.
That's a damned shame. The end.
Yeah, when Jane died, it was a damn shame.
I can give it another shot. The gods themselves are threatened by Gore, the god butcher, who possesses the necro sword. Thor and his friends Korg, Valkyrie, and his former lover, Jane Foster, got there, was about to call her Natalie Portman, seek to stop Gore from wishing all gods out of existence. Kids get kidnapped in there too, and that sucks. The end.
I thought you ran out of steam.
Honestly,
how does this movie go?
Yeah, after the first two sentences, it was like, that was a pretty good recap. Can I turn my sentence back in and bank it for a future?
You can, actually.
I should have banked the last sentence. Yeah.
Can I do the AI version of it?
Sure.
And I asked it to do longer sentences. Thor: Love and Thunder delves into Thor's journey of self-discovery and redemption as he grapples with past mistakes and confronts his inner demons, all while navigating the complexities of his rekindled romance with Jane Foster, who takes on the mantle of Thor herself, wielding Mjolnir and embodying the power of the Thunder God. As the cosmic threat of Gore the God Butcher looms large, Thor and Jane must join forces alongside familiar allies like the Guardians of the Galaxy and new faces such as Valkyrie to thwart Gore's genocidal quest to eradicate divine beings across the universe, leading to epic battles that test their resolve and redefine the very essence of heroism, love, and sacrifice in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's a little better than the Doctor Strange one.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to object, but then it made some pretty key errors. And I was like, okay, we can keep it around. It can't replace us yet. Speaking of food, I have these Doritos here.
So do I.
Is it time for chipping for Charlie?
Yep. Charlie regrets his life choices with regards to chips. What do you have, Doug?
I have a bag of Doritos Baja Fiery Mango.
Oh, I have a bag of Doritos Twisted Lime flavored with other natural flavors.
Oh, yeah, this one is also flavored with other natural flavors. And it's got a shark taking a bite out of the Doritos logo as a volcano erupts in the background.
Oh, that's a lot cooler than mine. Mine just has a Dorito on fire with a lime behind it.
Eh, not bad.
Yeah, but it's not a shark.
It is a pretty cool shark.
Let's do the Baja Mango first.
Wafting it towards my face, and you can already smell the spice, so I think it'll live up to the fiery mango. So, let's give it a try. Fruity. Really fruity.
In a good way?
And there's the fire. Yeah, first one's not bad. Let me try one more. Yeah, that is bizarre. Like, it's not bad. It's kind of good, but it is one of the fruitiest tortilla chips I've ever had.
All right, well, while you were tasting that, I opened the Twisted Lime. They're pretty yellow. They don't look like a spicy nacho like I kind of expected. And honestly, it smells like a limier version of a salsa verde. But let me taste. It's like if you combine Tostitos with a hint of lime and salsa verde and maybe upped the spice a tiny bit, that's what you get with Twisted Lime. It's not bad.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a shame we can't try them together.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, that's Twisted Lime. So what's that Twisted Lime bag? Okay. The Twisted Lime bag would like to know if any of you had seen this movie before.
I'm sorry, Twisted Lime bag. I hadn't seen this movie before. Well, I guess I assume that disappoints the bag. I don't know. I mean, this is just
a lime bag. Have that, like, strong feeling.
The bag didn't hear what you said.
Oh, because it doesn't have headphones.
I had not seen this movie before, Lime Bag.
I had seen it once prior to rewatching it for the podcast, sometime on Disney Plus after it had left theaters. Thank you or sorry, Twisted Lime Bag. Depending on what is appropriate for your feelings.
Oh, omnipotent lime bag.
So this was the first time that I had seen this movie.
I saw it once before, like Kevin on Disney Plus. Didn't see it in theaters, mainly because when it came out, I was busy performing in a theater show, Frost Nixon, if I remember correctly. So I just never had the chance because it was always either like rehearsals or performances or stuff. So we caught on Disney Plus and went, yep. And then watched again last week.
I hadn't seen it until last week. Twisted Lime Bag.
So nobody saw this in theaters.
I'm slightly surprised Kevin didn't see it in theaters.
I was actually just looking. This is the Marvel movie that broke my streak. I had seen everything since Iron Man in theaters of the MCU. And this one, I just, nope, didn't happen.
Any particular reason or just...
I mean, I loved Ragnarok, but I just wasn't feeling hyped for this. I was busy. Like, I don't remember exactly when... What month did this come out in 2022?
July.
July. Yeah, I've got no real excuse for not having seen it off the top of my head. Oh, I did move into my current home. That's a fair reason to be somewhat busy. Yeah, I don't know. I liked Multiverse of Madness, but it didn't really blow my face off. And before that, I mean, No Way Home was awesome, obviously, but the Eternals, they were just, Marvel was pumping out a lot, and the quality wasn't quite at its pre-Endgame levels, and I said, I'm tired, I'm just going to wait for this to come on Disney Plus, and that's what I did.
Did it feel like a relief, having broken the streak?
It is kind of nice. Like, I, looking forward, like every other movie I saw in theaters at that point, it's
every other movie? Wow.
No, every other, as in, like, I saw one, I missed one, I saw one, I missed one.
Oh, not that you watched
all not of I skipped it, and then to make up every single movie, MCU or otherwise, that was released.
That really makes me want to look up some of the real stinkers that came out.
You had to attend
every movie from 2022 forward. Yeah, I don't know. And the reviews were kind of middling. I don't know. I didn't make it a priority, and I don't feel too bad about having missed it. I'm old.
So as far as backstory, don't know if there's too much to say movie-wise. Thor Ragnarok obviously did really well, so they wanted to do another one. And Chris Hemsworth was actually, I think, reinvigorated with Thor after Ragnarok, because I think prior to that he'd been sort of like, about his like previous Thor outings. Like, not that he was unhappy about them so much as I think he sort of felt like he had done that already. But Thor Ragnarok made him want to do more. So he becomes the first MCU character to get a fourth movie character, I should say, not general series, because obviously Avengers. But as far as characters go, he's the first four. Oh, they got Natalie Portman back apparently because she met with Taika Waititi, the director, and she basically liked what he had to say about his ideas about making her Thor and having to navigate that and deal with Chris Hemsworth and all that stuff. The story itself is an adaptation of a fairly recent comic. Jason Aaron's 2010 run, I think, of Thor. That and not only introduces Jane Foster as Thor, but also Gore the God Butcher. So that's about all I have. Unless someone wants to add some, we can move to the movie proper.
All I know is that Chris Hemsworth said something recently about, I guess, maybe attempting to be too funny in this movie, or that maybe he has some regrets about his performance in this film.
Yeah.
So I guess
I think it was something like when you're in the movie, you don't necessarily notice, like when you're in the making of the movie, you don't necessarily notice how the tone is going and stuff.
Right.
Kind of what you're saying. I think it was kind of like, I had a good time. I'm sorry no one else did.
Did you all not have a good time with the movie?
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it more on the second watching,
to be honest.
Oh, okay.
But I did think about that a few times. And I heard that complaint a little bit about Ragnarok, that, like, you know, the stakes are this high, but it's a little goofy. It just felt better balanced in Ragnarok. Like, I don't know. Even though it's sort of, for at least half the movie, smaller stakes, combining the weird, goofy humor with, like, child kidnapping just felt, I don't know. I could make it work when it was like, oh, Asgard's going to explode or something. Like, those are such ridiculously high stakes that it contrasted well with the humor. Whereas, I don't know, like I said, if a bunch of parents' kids just got taken away by some creepy shadow monster guy, the tonal dissonance stood out to me a little bit more in this one than in Ragnarok.
Oh, man, are we going to get another Kingsman situation?
So,
a Kingsman slash Black Widow situation.
So, kind of back to Kevin's point a bit, but since we're here, part of me wonders if part of the issue here is that for most of Thor Ragnarok, Thor is kind of a fish out of water. Like, this is not really a Thor story, and this is not like the sort of things that normally happen with Thor, right? Suddenly we're doing like weird space stuff and dealing with like aliens and crazy stuff like that. And so I think that gives them the license to be a little looser and goofier because it's not a typical Thor story. But what the problem of this one is that this, for the most part, is a typical Thor story. And so I think having a typical Thor story and then Thor behaving still kind of goofy and atypical, I think sticks out more just because the contrast is clearer.
I'd buy that.
My personal assessment was that compared to the comics, it felt like there was a lack of sincerity from Thor, especially, but essentially from most of the people except for Gore. Just felt like they weren't taking it overly serious in the way that Thor stuff typically is in the comics.
I think, like, for me, like, I really like Ragnarok, and so I was kind of, like, thinking it was going to be like that. I don't think you can have, like, a Jeff Goldblum, though. You know what I mean? Like, how do you replicate that performance? But I will say that Christian Bale in this is absolutely phenomenal. Like, there's There's parts where I'm like, holy, you know, like, wow, like, I was actually like freaked out, like the one part where he's talking about the beheading with like the in front of the kids. Like that legit is like, it was like nightmare fuel. And I don't know, like for me, that's as good of a villain like acting role as like Willem Dafoe was. So,
but it also feels like Christian Bale is having a blast.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
He was underutilized, and like every second he was on the screen was fantastic. I could have done with substantially more gore. I don't know what you could cut out. Omnipotent City, probably. And then just, I don't know, show him like actually butchering more gods on screen.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see the butchering of more gods. I think that would have been cool. Like it would have been, because like the end like fight scene, I don't really like know his fighting. They have a couple of fight scenes and you're kind of like, oh, he just has the sword. It would have been nice to like actually like see if there's any other powers or something. You just kind of get like a couple of glimpses.
That might have been like, even more of a tonal disconnect though if they had tried to maintain that goofy tone, but also way more murder.
That's fair. Yeah. I agree with Kevin that they could have utilized him.
Oh, no, I completely agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying I understand why, from a filmmaking standpoint, they maybe did not do that.
Yeah,
it's really, let's just blame the ratings board for this one. It should have been R.
Hard R.
Oh, gosh. Oh. We can't have that.
From the sense of the continuity with the comics, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but maybe Gore is just a villain that should have been put in a different movie, like with a different hero.
Well,
right?
But yeah. Thor is a god, so therefore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I felt like they're like trying to fit the entire Natalie Portman Mighty Thor plotline in while also having someone as great as Christian Bale. Like, it was just too much to put all in one movie to have a satisfying amount of screen time for both things. And again, Adam, I didn't actually know that they were all from the same run, but that's, to me, what did this movie clock in at? It was under 2 hours?
I think it was like 122, something like that, but, you know, credits are like 10 minutes these days, so.
It felt decently paced to me, but it just, there wasn't enough time to, you know, delve deeper into Gore and do service to Dane Foster's arc.
And to be fair, I believe Jason Aaron's run on Thor lasted a fair amount of time.
Okay, so like maybe both under him, even. But yeah. I gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
What I'd also say about that is that I agree, it feels that way, but so many of the movies we've done in this March do exactly that. They just stuff tons of things in the movie, and some of them work, and like some of them don't work quite as well, and it's just...
Here we go, S.H.I.E.L.D. again.
Where was the S.H.I.E.L.D. in this one? There's swords. What's that? Yeah, there's a hammer, a sword. I don't know. This may be the first S.H.I.E.L.D.-less movie. They didn't mention S.H.I.E.L.D.? No Nick... Well, there's Nick Fury. That may have been my favorite part.
Did anyone else picture Nick Fury as a furry at that point?
Not for the first time, but yes.
Like as a furry?
I think it was just you.
Okay. None of y'all have imaginations, I understand.
Speaking of not having imaginations, let's go back to the beginning of the movie. And I want to talk about what I noticed as a, and maybe others can agree or disagree, except for Tony, because he won't know what I'm talking about, but he can nod along. Thank you. Is the very strong resemblance of the start of this movie to the start of Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. Kevin Feige is on record as being a Star Trek fan, so it's not beyond the realm of possibility completely. Is it likely? No. But is it impossible? Equally, no.
I mean, it wouldn't even be the first semi-direct reference to Star Trek. At the end of Endgame, they kind of mimicked the sign-off at the end of Star Trek VI with all the actors like signing their names under their credit.
I think that's explicitly an homage, as I recall.
I believe it is. Yes, yes. That's, yep. It would not be the first time.
And the punk on the bus from Star Trek IV shows up in Star Trek, Spider-Man Homecoming.
There's a Star Trek Spider-Man?
I misspoke. You're not supposed to draw attention to it, Tony.
Well, now it has to stay.
Damn it. You know what? It's time for some Lay's Kettle Cooked Lime and Cracked Pepper. This is a limited hometown flavor.
Let's see what ChatGPT says about it.
Wait, flavor that hits home.
Lime flavor?
Bite into memorable moments with Southwest-inspired tang and a peppery crunch.
Commemorate this moment that we'll remember forever.
Smells like lime and pepper. Yeah, lime and cracked pepper chips, not very good. I don't know what I was expecting, but it's basically exactly what you would think. And about as disappointing as you can imagine that would be.
I don't know. I can imagine pretty disappointing.
This episode feels less focused than usual, and that's not a high bar to clear.
I think it's the time. This is what happens when almost everyone waits
a full week to watch.
Fair, yes.
All right,
like, you guys are talking about things, and I'm like, I don't remember that.
Back to the movie.
Yeah, like I don't remember all the Star Trek.
Like, it's
references.
Important that my memory has been jogged on a few things.
So I thought that it was kind of nice at the beginning that they took some pains to make sure that nobody was going to miss this god when he's gone.
That's true.
Yeah,
no one was
only
going
had
to be sad.
One worshiper left, and he was not happy about it.
Yeah, it was a good scene. It showed you the callousness of the gods and made you understand why Gore would become a god butcher. And it made you think about Star Trek V. Really the perfect movie so far.
And then Thor shows up.
I will say, the Guardians of the Galaxy scenes may have been some of my favorite moments in this movie.
Really?
Yeah, I think it just felt thematically like it made sense to me.
I just wish there was more.
Well, I equally wish there was more, like maybe a full movie of the Asgardians of the Galaxy or whatever, but...
Right. That's what I thought we were getting at first.
Yeah, this felt very much like, all right, this is where we left Thor. Now we have to move on to something. Here's a quick transition scene. Bye. See you later, Guardians.
Thor's heartbroken.
Yeah.
Thor horny.
Thorny.
Thor horny, Michael.
Horny.
But no, just like the scene with him like destroying the temple and him like making them like come and ask him that there'd be like, hey, we could use your help.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like those moments.
The actor who played like the leader of the group. I liked him.
Yeah.
This is reactions to everything.
I just like the fact that you knew that temple was going to be destroyed.
Right.
Like that was the most telegraphed thing. And I was like, this is going to happen. And then he wins and it's just in shambles. And then they don't really bring it up. And then like at the end of the conversation, the guy's just like, please, I don't want, I'm very sad and angry.
I thought when they were introduced at the beginning of the movie that I was going to get tired of the screaming goats, but I didn't get tired of the screaming goats. I would forget about them just in time for them to scream at the top of their lungs again. It brought me joy.
That's a real thing, right?
The screaming goats?
Yeah.
Yeah, goats.
I think
can
there
sound
are
like
goats that scream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Thor has goats.
Yes. That I wasn't sure what part you were talking about being real.
I mean, it's a documentary, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's real.
So. Early on when Thor goes back to New Asgard because he gets the tingle or whatever and the God Butcher has all the shadow creatures. It's like the first fight scene with everybody. Is Thor like going through different wardrobe of like the comics? Like is there anything that's kind of like yes. If you read the comics that are kind of like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool or whatever. Because I thought that was kind of cool, some of the costuming, you know, when he would, like, change. So I didn't know if there's any significance there.
Yeah, I think just, their comic appropriate Thor outfits. And I know, like, for the longest time, he had, like, the waned helm and stuff.
Visually, like, all of the costuming and all of the different locations that they shoot or create, they're all really interesting.
Yeah, I enjoyed that part.
Like, everything actually sticks in my mind pretty well.
I stress I liked this movie, but most of the interesting things I have to say are complaints. I agree with that mostly.
Just, you're Charlie.
Yeah, Tony!
The one costume that stood out to me is just kind of like, was Russell Crowe in the Zeus outfit, which kind of like he didn't really want to like work out for the role, so they slapped a big metal girdle on him. Like every other because I completely agree. I loved the like blue, silver, gold, red cape Thor outfit. I thought they nailed Natalie Portman's mighty Thor look. Gore, I thought, looked fantastic. But yeah, I don't know. That one stood out to me as just kind of lazy-ish. Was this affected by COVID, by the way? I was trying to pick out, like, you know, Russell Crowe is never, I think, filmed with really any of the other characters except maybe one interaction. When would this have? I guess that would still be pandemic.
Production was delayed because of COVID.
Okay.
I think they started filming, it says January 2021. So that I'm sure like COVID restrictions were still in like full effect and stuff.
Okay, that makes some sense.
But I'd like to save whatever that place is called, Omnipotent City or something.
Omnipotent City.
Because I have thoughts on that. But before we get there, I think I want to talk a bit more or a little bit more in depth about Jane Foster and Natalie Portman and that whole storyline. First of all, what did you think about the cancer? Did you think that was like a compelling motivation or just tacked on or somewhere in the middle?
Now, I don't want to speak for Kevin, but I'll definitely say I'm against cancer.
Yes. Oh, it pays the bills,
changing
though, Charlie.
Your position. A real flip-flopper, Charlie.
So do I have to be on the side of cancer?
Really back in the corner.
Yeah, I called shotgun too bad.
I liked it a lot, actually. I pretty much from beginning to end loved Jane Foster's plot line here. And I know it's at least somehow based in the comics. I don't know how it ends in the comic series.
She gets
good for her. Less so here.
I think in the comics, it's something like something about the power of Thor interferes with the chemo. So she keeps getting sicker. But once she gives up Thor, then the chemo works and it cures her cancer.
No.
Something like that. I haven't read the run. This was based on like research a week ago because thanks, Charlie.
Don't mention it.
No, I was glad they brought her back in general, because while it's just kind of characteristic of making movies across, you know, multiple at this point decades, she was such a big part of the first two movies. It was kind of weird to just write her off in the third. So I was glad she was back. I thought it was a very interesting plot line that they hadn't really covered anything like in any of the MCU movies. And, you know, it was even the moment at the end where, like, you know, she makes the decision to go and Thor's reaction to her arriving to help him fight Gore. Like, it worked for me.
I did find it pretty hilarious that Stellan Skarsgård is her oncologist. What's going on?
Scientists know all science.
The doctor's like, here, I'll give the information to you and you can tell her. I don't want to tell her.
She Once was
again,
also
I'm
trying
not
to
that kind of doctor.
Wasn't she doing her own oncology on the side as well?
Oh, like, that's part of
her trying to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's in character, though. You know, she seems pretty stubborn when it comes to that kind of thing. I felt.
Fair enough.
Tony, did you like Natalie Portman in this movie?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Asked and answered.
I was trying to think of another actress's name.
Just any actress? Kate Blanchett? Like,
I thought it was Winona. I thought it was Winona Ryder at first. I'm not going to lie.
Kat Dennings?
I thought it was like the person from, well, maybe it's not Winona Ryder. I thought the person from Mr. Deeds.
Adam Sandler?
I think it's Winona Ryder. Hold on. Yeah, I thought it was Winona Ryder at first. I don't know why. So I was really excited, and then I was like, oh, it's not her.
Were you confused why they'd subbed Natalie Portman out for Winona Ryder? Or
I don't really know movies or actresses or people, so I just kind of watch, and then throughout the whole movie, I'm like, is this the same person? I don't know. Sometimes I look it up, but most of the time I just watch it, then I come here.
So I felt like the makeup artist who did Natalie Portman's makeup was like, we're going to be extra. Like, when she's Thor, it just seems like way more eye makeup than I normally see her wearing outside of the Phantom Menace.
Look, man, you get a glow up when you become Thor.
That is the exact word I was going to use. Yes. Oh, and she, I don't know like what her workout regimen for this was, but she looked like legitimately buff. Like she put in the work to look like a Thor. Dead silence. Okay. Sorry.
Kevin, that's just this episode, is you say something really good and everyone just goes, yeah.
Yeah, that was good, but like it was also about the movie, and I don't really want to talk about
that. So one thing I did not like about this movie, sorry, Tony, are you sitting down? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I thought all the hammer jealousy stuff was really stupid.
I almost want to agree with you, except one of these scenes where Stormbreaker just creeps in from the side was like made it all worthwhile.
That was kind of funny.
It was funny to me until it became involved in the very last, like the fight scene with Gore, where he's like still talking to the Stormbreaker. Like that just felt like, why are you inserting this joke in the middle of what is supposed to be your climactic fight scene? But up until that point, I was 100% on board.
Yeah, I just thought it was dumb. I was like, I don't buy this. This is too far. That's my opinion and Charlie's. So
I guess I didn't hate it. I didn't like it.
I mean, any objections I have to it are just part of the larger objection of the lack of sincerity, lack of seriousness.
Gotcha. One thing I liked about the movie was when they went to the Shadow Realm and the stark contrast from like the color into, but then like you could kind of see some color at some points. I thought that was really well done.
They didn't turn it all the way to zero. It was at like 4 or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Agree with that.
Especially like once they start fighting, I think each of their weapons lit up extremely vividly. Like you saw the yellow of the Thunderbolt or whatever it was called, and Mjolnir was blue. I loved the visual styling of that, you know, partially black and white oversaturated section of the movie. Yeah.
Outside of all the silliness and whatever, but I really thought like visually there wasn't really anything that like took me out of the movie. So I think that helped me to not think that it was just really bad or whatever. You know what I mean? Like I didn't hate the movie. I didn't really like it either. So
I guess I'm just comparing it back to Ragnarok and thinking of like, there were so many amazing shots in that. I mean, little things like Loki appearing as like your savior is here, or Thor coming down on that horde of people as whatever played in the background, Immigrant Song. Like, it never hit the highs of Ragnarok for me, while still, I agree, visually being impressive and, you know, very artistic at times. One thing, I can't really fault the movie too hard for this, but I missed Loki. Like, the Thor-Loki partnership, whatever, relationship, I was my absolute favorite part of the first 3 Thor movies, obviously in 1, even 2, which I didn't love, like that was the best part of the movie for me. It felt weird to not have Thor have a foil. It kind of changed the entire vibe of the movie for me.
All the other characters, it feels like there's Thor and then there's the other characters in this one. Even Valkyrie, I felt, was a stronger character in Ragnarok. Like, she had more of a personality than she does here. A lot of the scenes, it's like Thor says something and then other character says like, no, it's not really like that. And Thor's like, yes, it is. Or, you know, it just feels like the same sort of function each character is playing with Thor. I mean, with maybe the exception of like Russell Crowe.
Did you like when they were originally leaving the new Asgard and Thor's mansplaining to everyone what they're about to do?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like she's the king. Maybe she should tell the people.
All right, so let's talk about Omnipotence City and Woo! Why does that scene exist in this movie at all?
So we can put a mid-credit sequence in that'll introduce yet another character that most people don't really know much about that's supposed to get us excited for more movies in the future.
But he's played by that random guy from Ted Lasso, not him, the other one.
Right.
Oh, yep, that guy. Okay.
It's like everybody's parents is getting super excited because it's that guy from Ted Lasso.
It wasn't the third movie in a row, but Eternals, Multiverse of Madness, and then Love and Thunder did basically this exact thing where it's like, oh, it's a famous person playing a character that is supposed to excite us for the future. And it was starting to fall real flat by the time this one rolled around.
Wasn't Harry Styles?
Yeah, Harry Styles is in Eternals.
Yeah.
Don't forget Black Widow with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
All right.
That one I'll give a little bit of leeway to, because I don't think... Was she supposed to premiere in Black Widow? I think there was like an order swap with a Disney Plus thing where COVID rearranged when she was supposed to appear initially.
Yes, but I think it's the other way, right?
It's been a while since I watched it.
It looks like she was supposed to be introduced in Black Widow, and then it became a reprise of the role because they pulled Falcon forward.
Interesting.
So it was supposed to be, again, the same thing. I look forward to Black Panther 2 doing something similar.
I thought that, what is it, Omnipotence or whatever? I thought there was going to be a fight, like a fight scene between the God Butcher and those people, like, because they're basically like playing that up, right? And that is always what happens in MCU, right? They go to a place that they're like, we're safe here, and then all of a sudden the bad person or villain, whatever, is just like, nope, I found it out. Like,
I agree.
I was always expecting that, and then it just never did. And then it was like, oh, they're gonna kill Zeus. Well, I guess they didn't actually kill Zeus, but like, oh, they're gonna do this, and then they just get away. I don't know. I thought that was dumb.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the point of that scene as it stood.
I wasn't being that much. Like, I truly think it was at least just to introduce Zeus so they can introduce Hercules. I mean, I can't think of any other reason. And
they didn't need his little thunderbolt thing.
No, it they could have used anything. I mean, whatever MacGuffin that they wanted to use against Gore.
Was it just like the Jeff Goldblum role? They needed that. They're like, we'll just have Russell Crowe as Zeus. Just kind of this with silly character in the middle of, oh yeah.
Doing what I assume is supposed to be a Greek accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, that kind of took me away a little bit.
It made me realize that when I heard that, I was like, I don't recall off the top of my head what like a common Greek accent sounds like, but I'm pretty sure it's not that.
Yeah. It's more like Eastern European. I'm gonna go look up
what does Greek sound like now.
It made me think of Jeff Goldblum because it's like, we're gonna have this guy on and we'll just let them do what they want to do. All right, that's your accent, fine.
Yeah.
And, it'll be funny.
And both characters talk about orgies.
Common through line, I didn't notice.
Yeah,
that's because you're not on orgy watch like Tony always is. Just constantly.
A boy knows what he wants, what he likes.
The FBI is putting me on orgy watch.
Well, look, without that part, you don't have the nice symmetry where it's like, okay, we've got this evil guy allegedly who's, you know, going around killing gods. Let's go find the head god of all gods and kill him too. You know, they kind of ruined it with the mid-credit scene where they revealed that, oh no, Russell Crowe didn't actually die. But like up until that point, you know, you had a little bit of nice symmetry there.
Thor suddenly realizes, am I the god butcher? The whole time?
Maybe the gods we butchered were the friends we killed along the way.
So is the God Butcher in like real life comics a like true villain, or do they have some sort of like redeeming quality? Because it seemed like this person was so evil that I didn't understand like the end, right, where he turns good.
No, well, they do explain, I think, that the sword itself kind of takes you over. So when the sword gets destroyed,
And so, okay, so then that's when he's coming to terms with everything. Okay.
And
all right.
And I mean, the it was a pretty tragic opening scene, and the gods really did suck.
Omnipotent City kind of proved that Gore was right. Like, he had a point. Like, pretty solid point.
So before we leave the topic of Omnipotent City, I just wanted to point out that in one of the crowd shots, you can see Aura Serrata of Araco, which is the giant eyeball character, which was a nice touch that I'm guessing that literally only I care about or picked up on of all of us. But it was there, and I like that.
Okay, but here's the thing. This is a limited summer flavor, Lay's Salsa Fresca, flavored with other natural flavors. Limited summer flavor, tomato, zesty, rich, crunchy. Looks like there's a picture of the lime on the front, so continuing. Gonna have one. That's actually pretty good. I just wish it wasn't a regular Lay's chip. It would be better as like a kettle cooked or maybe a tortilla chip or something. But yeah, no, still fine. If you offered me that, I wouldn't say no thank you. I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll take them.
All right, a question that may be beyond the scope of this, but people who read the comics, based on what this movie presents, what is a god? They don't need to have people believe in them. So are they just something that's immortal?
Wait, why don't they need to have people believe in them?
Because the one guy, well, Christian Bale's like, I'm your last worshiper or whatever. And then the god says, oh, that's fine. I'll just get more. So clearly he doesn't need any at any given time.
Well, he didn't, did he?
Okay, you're right.
I mean, you would think that there would be some, you know, if they were dependent on having believers, that like having just one left, you'd be a little more like withered and, you know, unhappy or something.
Right. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Yeah.
So if I understand the question, it's basically, what does lime and black pepper taste like when combined with twisted lime? So let me find out.
Is twisted lime our deity that we were talking to earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
Bag specifically.
I think he was a short-lived guitarist in Guns N' Roses.
Basically just tastes like twisted lime. The pepper kind of adds the spice and the lime's already there. Pretty unexciting. What's that? Doritos Twisted Lime Bag would like to know what your feelings about the ending were with regards to the children fight and Gore opening a doorway to eternity. So we're just going to ignore Charlie's question.
Did
Charlie have a question?
Yeah, the god thing. We haven't gotten really deep into the details of what a god is in this universe.
Oh, a god's whatever you want it to be, man.
Then he can kill whatever he wants with the sword. All right. Presumably it kills non-god things too, I guess.
They do have a lot of gods in the Marvel universe.
Seems like kind of a universal ruling class that us here on Earth maybe aren't that actively aware of, maybe?
Yeah, like, is it less related to powers and more related to some kind of social strata?
It's just vibes, man.
Could be. I mean, yeah. But, like, he's the god butcher. I wonder what it is specifically.
Next time someone asks you if you're a god, you say, yes!
Unless he's the god butcher, and then you say no.
that's random. So I was like, well, not all the gods in the Marvel universe are, you know, like Greek gods or Norse gods or whatever. There's the god of the symbiotes, Null, And so I look up the Wikipedia and it's like, oh yeah, this this character was behind Gore the God Butcher's mission to hunt down and kill various deities. He's an evil deity who created the weapon known as All Black, the Necro Sword. I'm like, oh, that is quite the interesting and conveniently appropriate tie-in.
Twisted Limebag grows impatient.
Adam asked about, do you want to prompt again for the child fight? Or
yeah, do you like to watch children fight?
Yeah.
So,
How many 10-year-olds do you think you could take? Is that what that was? Ooh,
They've got plot armor. They're invincible. You can't take them no matter what.
Wait, don't think the MCU is going to start killing kids?
Just the one at the beginning of the movie.
I mean, they were close today.
Today? What happened today?
Well, I guess they brought it back. Yeah.
I watched the movie today. That's when it was released for me.
I thought your apartment was like assaulted by it. Like a roving band of like 100 kids. Yeah. With that's improvised why, weapons.
That's why I was like talking, like asking.
Is it okay to yell at them?
Yeah. Like when do you yell at kids? Like I saw
there's
some
like
out 100 there.
Of them like breaking through my windows.
Shooting lightning everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? If we count Disney Plus shows, there has been at least one child murder in the MCU.
Are you about to spoil something for me?
I'm not saying anything besides that.
So you're saying if I want child murder, I gotta go to Disney Plus to get it?
That's the banner ad these days. Do you want child murder? Subscribe today.
I think I'm okay. Like, not only do they have plot armor so strongly that when they get zip zap zoomed back to Earth, their clothing is spotless.
That's part of the zip zap zoop. It does your clothes for you.
Cleaned and pressed.
The rainbow bridge, the rainbow part, isn't actually about the color of the bridge. It's about how vibrant your clothing colors will be when you come out of it.
That's right.
It's basically a Tide Pod. Like,
but for your clothes instead of your stomach.
The kid thing was silly. It felt like they realized that they needed a big fight scene at the end, and also there were some kids around. I don't know. Usually I like the goofiness. I mean, Ragnarok, again, I think balances it magnificently. Here, like, yeah, let's make all the kids Thor, which is a thing Thor can do, apparently. Yeah, it was... Eh. I didn't hate it. It's not like I actively was upset while watching it. And, like, when the little girl with the bunny was shooting bunny lightning at everyone, like, yeah, that's mildly amusing. But, I don't know, it was weirder to me than it was funny.
You know, I think that scene in general, it made me want a whole different movie, which would essentially be Thor's School of Rock. I think that probably should be where they go with the series.
No, you're not hardcore. No, you're not hardcore. I could see that.
So what do we think of the Eternity sequence?
I love the way they designed Eternity. That was as good as you can translate the comic character to the screen, as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree with that.
Second, or I guess third. I third that. Third that emotion.
So Eternity is a character in the MCU, or not MCU, but the comics?
Yeah, and basically looks exactly like that.
Hmm.
Like, in terms of like the silhouette and the stars and planets and stuff making up the what's inside the silhouette, because they don't have the Abrahamic God in the Marvel comics, but they do have abstract concepts that are actually made manifest.
I don't know if you'd call them the Abrahamic God, but there's the one above all that kind of fulfills the literal God on top of everything else role.
In the Marvel stuff?
Marvel,
the one above all. We're getting sidetracked, though.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have more chips you need to eat before we're done recording this?
Damn!
All right.
Well, I mean, so he needs to combine all three, right?
Yeah, so here's Salsa Verde, Salsa Fresca, lime and cracked pepper. And let's find a twisted lime. Excuse me, Mr. Twisted Lime, sir. There we go. All right.
I mean, it's certainly crunchy.
It's very limey.
It multiplies.
Let me wash it down with some Starry. Oh my gosh, it's still limey. Well, that was a slow burn for Doug.
Sorry, that broke me. I was like, I was just thinking like, wait, what flavor is Star? Oh, no.
What were we talking about before I ate chips?
Just the whole final sequence.
All right, the one above all.
Yes.
Yeah, so the child fight sequence and I guess with the Guardians at the beginning, they're just trying to, felt like they were trying to recapture the magic of Thor Ragnarok when they had those sequences like, oh, we're just going to use Guns N' Roses this time instead. And I don't think it was quite as effective as it was in that previous movie.
Taika Waititi's on record of treating Thor Ragnarok as like a 70s prog rock. And he wanted to shift Thor Love and Thunder to more of an 80s metal feel. And so that was actually a conscious choice.
Mm. Oh. Maybe the reason why the needle drops didn't land for me is because I just intensely dislike 80s hair metal.
So this movie is basically then Crystal Skull, right?
You're going to have to elaborate on that.
The fourth movie?
I only didn't elaborate because I remember after I saw this, this was back in the maintenance days. I remember
Crystal Skull.
It was going for like the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
Vibe Cold over like War. The, you know, 40s adventure serial versus, you know,
yeah,
the 50s like B movie feel. That's all. Just a parallel.
Hence the Shia LaBeouf swinging with monkeys.
Shia LaBeouf.
I think for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, though, that's one of the things like you can tell you that and you can go back and watch the movie and appreciate. Oh, yeah, that's true. Here, I don't know. I don't really get the 80s hair metal influence besides just the needle
really?
Drops.
Did you go back and watch the movie after you heard that?
We watched it just now. Yes.
So you dropped that one above all link in the chat and I skimmed a little bit of it and was like 21st Century Fantastic Four. And I was like, so I guess I've just never encountered that character in any of the stuff I've read. Mm.
One of the advantages of living in the past.
It's not Wait, canon what? If I haven't read it. Or
that's
why.
Right.
That's
Wait. What? You're saying I'm living in the past?
My canon goes up to and including Heroes Reborn. That's it.
Oh.
That's a joke for Kevin and Doug. So, bring it back to the podcast. What is a flavor of chip that you like that we haven't talked about yet?
FBI.
You know, it's not a
Did
chip.
Did we even get that recorded?
No.
That's probably for the best.
I'm a Cheetos fan, and the jalapeno Cheetos, I think, are probably the greatest snack food creation of the last decade or whenever they came out. Like,
I do love
them. And if you mix, like, Flamin' Hot Cheetos with the jalapeno Cheetos, that's about peak for me.
There used to be a natural version of Cheetos Puffs that was jalapeno cheddar, and it was like the best thing ever.
I never tried that.
I got rid of it.
Of course.
I'm sad that I'm only just hearing about this. But to bring things back to the movie, I thought it was kind of interesting how they put the product placement directly in the movie with the Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Sorry, I just think
like everybody remembers this, right? The scene with Kat Dennings and the Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Oh yeah, all the yeah.
I'm not saying I don't.
Just as an aside, like I think the movie could have used more Kat Dennings and Stellan Skarsgård.
I mean, that's true of all movies.
You could have replaced a little bit of Korg time with them. I like Korg, but I feel like they oversaturated us with Korg this time around.
Well, that's because that's the director.
Right.
He's always there.
Replace some of the Korg stuff with more Meek. Like, we only got, like, what, one scene with Meek, so.
All right, so that's the thing you liked about the movie. What are other things you liked about the movie that we haven't talked about yet? I
haven't gotten to talk about Salsa Verde Doritos yet.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Please continue first. Did you actually want to talk about Salsa Verde Doritos?
Well, yeah, like, so are they still, like, can you just go to the store and get those any day?
Me,
If you go to the right store, like, for me, I have to go to Sendix where they're actually sold at label price. So, in other words, I can't afford them.
Am I just in a specific, like, no Salsa Verde Doritos? Like
Salsa Verde desert?
Yeah, like... They were just here, and then they disappeared forever, and sometimes I see them in other parts of the country, but never around here.
You might not that I go to like wrong stores.
Do you have a hot tip? Just the like, tell market. Me, just tell me where to get the Salsa Verde chips in Lansing. I won't be mad.
Now you got me thinking I should go to the Frito-Lay website and see where do I buy these.
That's a feature? That's just a thing you can do? Find the
exact store? A lot of the times, yeah. They will actually tell you specific stores you can go to that should have, you know, their product, you know, and even particular flavors of their product.
According to Google, Salsa Verde, live salsa band in Old Town Lansing.
He just goes to the dang music venue and demands Salsa Verde. The band comes out and he just becomes irate.
One thing I liked about Thor Love and Thunder that we haven't talked about is I liked that the little acting troupe came back.
Oh yeah,
with Matt Damon and Liam Hemsworth and Sam Neill.
Yeah, for Cinematrix purposes, right?
Sure.
I was like, oh, Melissa McCarthy, yes.
But I really liked the Melissa McCarthy as Hella. Like, that was just really funny to me. I was a big fan. Oh, and then, like, the little callback where they, like, are trying to decide how to reenact this as a stage play after, like, the fight.
There were two jokes in this movie that really got me. And one we already mentioned, which was that in his phone is listed as Nick Furry. But the other was just a ridiculous joke that, it seemed like it was, I don't know if they usually do this type of joke in Marvel movies. It seems like a sort of joke we would put in a movie, Adam, which was that, what's he doing? He's taking the minutes. Precious minutes we don't have.
Yeah.
It's like, jeez. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, hold on. That would imply that your favorite joke in the movie was not the beheading joke, where Gore is terrifying the children. Where he beheads, you know, rips the head off of the creature. He's like, what's the problem? You kids love this just a moment ago. Like, that was the peak of the whole movie.
Yeah. He also said that creature liked to get its head taken off. I don't think that was true. And we talked about it a little bit, but I did like the beginning fight scene with the Guardians. But Thor is just taking it upon himself and everyone just starts rolling their eyes. And like, he has this like Jean-Claude Van Damme splits between those two things that are coming. It's hilarious.
I don't have much of one. I already commented that I did like Jane Foster's plotline throughout the whole thing. What I was going to bring up specifically was that I liked that they kind of fleshed out why their relationship failed. Because, again, it was basically like two lines that were a joke in Ragnarok. So I like that they kind of gave some backstory and further context, which was necessary because they were bringing the character back. But still, the end.
That was good, but it did contribute to the oversaturation of Korg in the movie. Because
yeah.
He was narrating all of that. Maybe that's why he felt like there was too much of him, because he was narrating so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did feel very much like Michael Pena and Ant-Man too. It's like, oh yeah, we kind of had this gag where there's somebody narrating the stuff that happened.
Isn't that how Thor Ragnarok ends? No, that's how Iron Man 3 ends.
Where he's, I think, telling, he narrates. He narrates, yeah, in the beginning and end. Yeah, and it turns out, yes, in the post-credit sequence.
Yeah, I know, because I used Iron Man 3 for Mark Ruffalo the other day for Cinematrix. Paul?
It's probably just the goofy kids fight that we talked about that was a fun part, but we already covered that, so yeah, that's
all right. Charlie, I guess Paul yields his time, you can go.
Yeah, Yeah. If I think of something, I'll be sure to just to shout over whoever happens to be talking.
I liked how when Jane had Mjolnir, it could split into a bunch of pieces to destroy enemies. I thought it was a pretty cool effect. That's it.
God, why didn't I say that?
give me that take
with the power of editing.
It should have been me.
I'm not gonna say I killed the president.
Oh dang it. Say it again. I put my phone on.
So ultimately, what did you think of Thor Love and Thunder? Would you save those kids from Eternal Night, or would you just let them be? You're probably better off in the Shadow Realm.
Leave them in the bone cage.
That's right. I guess I'm asking, how many gods out of 10 would you butcher because of this movie? No objections? Everyone's cool with that?
I mean, you just made us all have to say 10. Like, you can't just...
Can't just stop at one.
Yeah. Like, if you are the God Butcher, like, you by definition will not stop.
Well, you could just be singular.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess it isn't the God's Butcher.
Yeah, just one and done.
I enjoyed this movie, but for me...
10 out of 10.
It's the end. It's the fourth, we'll say the third out of four, you know, movies that came out. The Eternals, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love and Thunder. You know, Spider-Man's in there, and obviously he's too big to fail. Even if it was a bad movie, it would have done amazingly. But it was just, it felt like the third purely MCU movie in a row that just kind of, it underwhelmed me a little bit. I still thoroughly enjoyed watching it. I'd pop it on again, but it doesn't live up to everything that, like, you know, built the MCU into what it was. I don't really know what else to say besides that. Like, if this were the average quality of Marvel movie that came out over the last decade, then we never would have had a, you know, $500 million two-parter that made $3 billion, probably a lot more than that combining the two movies. It was a perfectly entertaining movie, but the worst criticism I can give of it is that it was nothing special. So I'm going to rank it at the exact same level as those other two movies, The Eternals and Multiverse of Madness. I'm going to butcher 7 gods out of 10.
I think I'm kind of where Kevin is a little bit. And like Kevin, I did enjoy it more on the second watch than on my initial watch. I think on the initial watch, I was kind of like, what did I just watch? I'm not sure I understand. Things made a bit more sense this time around, knowing where things were going and stuff like that. Christian Bale's fabulous. I kind of wish there was more of him in this, honestly. Natalie Portman's great. Honestly, Chris Hemsworth is pretty good, even when he's having to do less believable things. But yeah, there's just something about it that doesn't quite cohere in the way like some of the best Marvel movies do. And yeah, I feel like I'm just going to repeat everything that Kevin said. So just listen to what Kevin said. I am going to also butcher 7 gods out of 10. That's going to, for me, put it on par with Eternals and Thor the Dark World. And that feels about right. And so I have yet to drop an MCU movie below 7. Which, honestly, before I rewatched it, I thought this was going to be the one. But it's got enough charm that I don't hate it. So 7 gods down. 7 false gods slaughtered. And then just to add on to that, lime and cracked pepper, that's probably like a 4 or 5 out of 10. Salsa fresco, that's like a 7. And twisted lime, that's like a 9 out of 10. That's good. Paul, if you can't find salsa verde, but you can find twisted lime, acceptable substitute.
I'll give it a shot. I'm not finding a lot of leads, even on the Doritos search. But I'll...
Can you just order from Amazon?
That is what the Doritos thing, you know, the Doritos official finder tells me to go to Amazon and buy a bag for $11.48. That's Doritos telling me to do that.
Man, it'd probably be cheaper for me to buy it at lit MSRP and mail it to you. So I think that like this movie had a lot of potential, and there's a lot that it does right, particularly everything involving Christian Bale. But the lack of seriousness just really hurts it for me. Like, if this had been tonally similar to Thor the Dark World, easily be like a 9 out of 10. But I just can't take... It just makes it fall apart for me. So I'm going to go with 6.5 gods butchered out of 10. Like, the half god is Zeus turning out to not be dead mid-credits.
Makes
sense. You know, just, like, it's not the worst thing ever, but there's so much wasted potential there. Oh, and Dwayne's mustache looked absolutely garbage. Just worst CGI.
Who's Dwayne?
Who's Dwayne?
Korg's, Korg's rock mate.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking about Daryl. I was like, did Daryl have a mustache in this? His rock mate. I like that. It's like you start saying, like, oh, I don't want to get canceled. Am I going to say the right thing?
I mean, granted, we have Valkyrie in this movie, but could you imagine if, like, that was the reason that, like, maybe they couldn't release this movie in the Philippines or something? That'd be fantastic.
Malaysia, as it turns out.
Oh, okay.
You go woke, you go broke.
Because Disney, to their credit, refused to make those cuts.
Nice. This movie does a lot of things right, but it just doesn't quite come together, I think, because those tonal issues that we've been talking about. Yeah, you could have had either a goofier villain or a more serious rest of the movie. But it's, yeah, I'm just going to compare it to Thor Ragnarok, which I really liked. I gave that one a 9.5, and this one feels a couple of notches lower than that. I wish some of the characters were given a little bit more, maybe not personality, but just more to do that wasn't just playing off of Chris Hemsworth's, you know, dumb Thor lines. I guess I'll give this 7.5 gods out of 10, which puts it in line with
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, with Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah, I think that feels about right. And the half god is Hercules.
You wanted to see him dead?
Huh? But it wasn't to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he wasn't murdered, so. He doesn't count for or against the number of killed gods. But if we had...
I had not seen the movie before. I was looking forward to watching a Thor movie because I like the character. And I wasn't like, I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't like, oh, wow, this is like a really good movie that I want to watch again. Not like Ragnarok. I think Ragnarok, there may have been that like that bar that was set with Ragnarok for me. Where it never got to that. But I thought that it was entertaining at the very least. And I really liked Christian Bale and really enjoyed all of those scenes. And so I think that helped get this movie back up into the ratings for me. So I'm going to give this a 7. What are we, killing gods here? For this movie.
Like, I think in general, I enjoyed it all right. It was pretty good, pretty entertaining movie. I do think I agree with Doug in that it felt like tonally it didn't sort of handle to me that balance between serious or just fun as well as some of the other Thors had, and just didn't end up being as I don't know, it fell a little bit more flat than the previous entries in the series for me. So I will give this one 6.5 slain gods out of 10.
All right. Thanks everyone for joining us on our 79th installment of the Merry Marvel Movie March. Next time, we jump forward to November 2022, the end of Phase 4 of the MCU, and the end of our Merry Marvel Movie March Module 2. That is Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. So we hope you join us for that. I'm Adam Gobeski.
And I'm Charlie Wallace.
Oh, you think so, huh?
I'm somebody.
Sing a song about it, outroing everyone to the tune of Sweet Child of Mine.
What if we just
Yep. Special thanks to our lovely guest. We had Paul Wilcox.
Great to be here. It was.
And Kevin Vredevo came on the podcast next.
Good to be here too.
And Doug Gopaski, as usual, had some fun things to say that we'll probably cut.
I'm sorry, I'm just not an 80s music guy. I can't really think how the song goes.
As opposed to our perfect rendition.
I can't meet that level of quality. Sorry. Failing to meet that level of quality yet again. Doug, signing off.
And Tony Huff had some wonderful contributions, too.
Thank you.
Whoa, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to our show. Make sure to check out our website, GobeskiWallaceReport.com.
And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter. Just follow us at GWReport. And we're on the Facebook as well, just like our page, the Gobeski Wallace Report. I kind of forgot what was happening.
It's always so hard with the Twitter, with like the at. Like, you don't have to say at, do you?
I don't know. That's a question for the listeners to decide.
Hold on just a moment, all right? I will be back.
What is literally happening?
He's got kids.
There's a child on the loose.
That's what's happening.
Just put the child on a leash next to you.
That's what I do with my child.
Yeah. And Dots.
I'm so glad I don't have kids.
You know, if you just live next to a house with a lot of kids that run all over the place, you can just, you can have the worst of both worlds, you know, because it's in your yard.
Are you run an orphanage? Wait, are you one of those guys now? Like, get off my lawn, kids?
No, but like, so there's like a lot of natural gas work recently done, and there's a big pile of sand where they filled in this hole, and I saw the kids like digging really deep into it like a sandbox.
So you came out and yelled at
really them. Trying to get to that natural gas pipe.
Did you yell at them?
No, they did. They were never getting that deep. They maybe if they were like had a shovel or something.
Pothole digger, drilling rig. We had a pothole digger when I was growing up, and I would just dig down to the water table.
Post hole digger.
Yeah, sorry. pothole digger.
It's just a jackhammer you go out into the street with.
A fancy one. This is just a pick, basically.
Did you ever get yelled at by adults when you were growing up? Random adults would be like, hey, like, listen to your parents or like something like in the wild.
Random adults as like, opposed yeah, like, to my parents.
Yes. Yeah. Like you were doing something bad or a friend of yours that you were near was doing something bad. And just a stranger was like, hey, like, stop that.
I don't think so. But that's because I grew up in the country where random strangers don't tend to show
up. Because I was thinking about this the other day. Because where we lived, like, there were a lot of kids and there were a lot of, like, young parents. And I'm, like, approaching the age where I'm the age now that those people were when they were yelling at the kids. And I can't fathom a world where I'm yelling at kids.
That's because you don't have kids. Enough
yet to you.
Yeah.
Do you remember when that kid was ringing my doorbell? Were you over at my apartment when that happened?
No.
Yeah, see, that's why you haven't contemplated yelling at strangers' kids yet.
Okay. So I need experience with hooligans.
They haven't committed a yellable offense. Now, so probably those people you encountered had a improperly calibrated line, but every adult has their line with strange children.
Okay. Wow, I'm pretty happy that I haven't found that line, because, I mean, I've yelled at people at work.
Yeah, but those are your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it all depends on what age these kids are, too. Are they teens? are.
Or we were like 10, you know, 11.
Ooh, that's kind of getting into you can yell at him age, I think.
One guy was upset because we would hit a ball into his backyard. But that's where the home runs were, was over that fence. He didn't seem to appreciate that I broke the record.
And his window.
I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts right now.
About kid yelling?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not defending that guy.
I was thinking about it. Like, if kids were to go into my backyard in Williamston, it would be weird. Well, I guess, yeah, it would be just kind of weird. Like, okay, I just can't have kids in my backyard.
Yeah, like, you can either yell at them right away, at, like a jerk forever, or you can be like, are the kid, like, do I want them to be, and then they keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then you got to go talk to their parents and be like, yeah, I'm sorry, you know.
No, you don't understand, Paul. Legally, he can't have kids in his backyard.
So says the FBI. They read the tea leaves.
The federal ball inspectors? Is that a...
I think that was the butthole interpreter.
Butthole, that's right.
You know, I wonder if I could go back to being a kid who was yelled at by a random adult for doing something like in public or whatever. I feel like that doesn't happen as much anymore, but I also wonder how much of a yell it was in some of those situations for me.
That's true.
Like, was it just a scary guy going like, hey, don't do that? And I'm like, I screamed at me.
That's true. There may be some like just manufactured memories.
Well, I feel like I'm siding with evil right now, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea.
Just go for chaotic neutral.
Yeah. I'm just saying the kids can do some sometimes.
Yes, they can.
Were you guys ever at my apartment when you hear the screaming kid?
Yeah, I heard that once.
Thump, like, boom, boom, boom. That kid was not, like, 6 years old. He was, like, probably, like, 12.
I remember being at Tony's place when the people below him were screaming.
Oh, my God, wasn't that insane?
Yeah.
Why were they screaming?
Because that was how they communicated to that family.
Yeah, I had a neighbor a few years back who was that way. Which I learned when I was sitting at the kitchen table doing homework for a class at like 8 in the morning. And I was like, oh, that's a lot of yelling coming from the other side of my wall.
Look, maybe they're all like Dan, what's his name, who could only hear yells.
Dan Rumzig.
Rumzig, that was it.
Dan yeah. Flashes? That guy yells.
Huh, I thought it was only his shirts that were loud.
You go in. Yes, you do.
I can't promise that's going to take, but Kara will be home within 10 minutes. So.
Where is she?
Oh, she's walking home right now. She went to like a meetup nearby.
Okay.
And Celeste decided today was the day she wasn't going to be in bed by, which usually is. Celeste's
the problem.
Yeah, she was the one who came down and was like, oh, you're talking to your friends. I was like, yeah. I mean, I had it on headphones, so she didn't hear anything you were saying. She didn't hear about your OnlyFans.
Oh,
fan, singular.
Singular.
Oh, right.
She's like, busted, Dad. You said you're going to bed.